Richard Holt had no illusions. He was appointed marshal because he was worthless. Petty killed the previous three marshals, and the city fathers all but gave up on appointing another. Petty handpicked Holt as a joke. It was a way to thumb his nose at what law remained in Snake Creek. Holt could handle that, since it meant $30 per month plus room and board for basically sitting around the jail and doing occasional errands for Petty. Even so, he hated to be summoned by Petty, especially after such a rough day. Some of the bullets fired by the stranger, two wolves, came too close to him for comfort. His agreement to serve as marshal didn't include any bullets shot at him. Outside the Black Bull Saloon, Holt tucked his shirt in. Khan held the door open in front of him.
Come on, King's waiting.
I'm coming.
Petty was seated at a table in the center of the room, an open whiskey bottle in front of him. Several of his men were with him around the table.
About time, Holt. Next time, don't keep me waiting. Understand?
Sure, boss.
We're discussing ideas about how to have a little fun with the Widow Brandom and that troublemaker, Two Wolves. Any ideas?
I don't know. You're the boss.
Damned right. While we were waiting for you, we already came up with a couple of ideas.
Well, I'm sure they're good ones. I'll be there, whatever you need.
Good. That's what I want to hear, since you're going to be paying the widow a visit. I want you to worry her a little.
What do you mean? She might shoot me. Well, shit, two wolves might shoot me.
Woman seems to think you could actually do something about her husband's death. So let her think that. Ride on out to her place and tell her you'd be glad to investigate, if you have the evidence. So you'll need proof of the killing. Her husband's body. That should give her some pleasant dreams.
Sounds kind of rough on the woman and kid. What if she tries to shoot me? I didn't make any points with her this afternoon.
I'll send Khan with you. And don't worry about two wolves.
He turned to two of his other men.
Hardesty, Cooper, you two take care of that meddling son of a bitch. He was riding out of town a few minutes ago with the widow. If you ride fast, you can probably catch up to him before he gets the woman home. Ambush him. Catch him by surprise and kill him quick, and you shouldn't have any problem. He just got lucky this afternoon.
How about a drink? For the road?
Later. Now get. You all know what to do. Now do it.
Matt was almost ready to forget the fishing and just pull out some bacon and beans for supper. It was now a matter of honor, however, to have that fish ready upon Sam's return. There was still enough day left to accomplish the task. After Lester and Daryl Brown left, Matt grabbed his pole, found some fresh worms, and tried the spot the Browns recommended. It almost seemed too shady to Matt's eyes, but the fish were biting. Unfortunately, the quiet time he anticipated eluded him. The spot was peaceful, the fishing relaxing, but he kept thinking about the rustlers plaguing the Browns, King Petty in particular. Matt didn't offer to help them because it wasn't his fight. He was also still upset at Daryl's attack on him, even though it was an honest mistake. Still, Matt hated to turn his back on a fellow rancher. Matt once worked as a law officer, and there was something about King Petty that caused his neck hairs to tingle in warning. It was a vague feeling, but over the years, Matt learned to trust his instincts. He felt he should be doing something other than holding a fishing rod, even though he was no longer a lawman, nor was it his problem. By mid-afternoon, Matt had plenty of fish for supper. Thoughts of the rustlers kept crossing his mind. Almost in spite of himself, and against his better judgment, he pulled his pole out of the water and saddled his horse.
Let's just see what we can find.
The Browns had good land, Matt decided as he rode. The grass was thick and there was plenty of water. The signs indicated they had a fairly large herd. Matt came upon the trail of the rustlers near a large watering hole about a mile from where he was fishing. Tracks showed that many cattle had gathered here, herded together by a few men. Matt counted about five different horses, though there could have been more. The workers were sloppy in their roundup, missing a few dozen of the animals which gathered at the water. Matt decided this meant the rustlers were so sure of themselves, they were not concerned about rounding up all the cattle at one time. They would be coming back when they were good and ready. Sam could read more details in the tracks, but Matt did well enough. He followed the trail for a while, even to the point where Lester Brown rode into the moving herd, his horse's tracks mingling with the cattle in the trampled dirt. The trail then led into some rocky ground, but Matt learned what he needed. The rustlers were a small group, and they weren't too concerned about being followed. If he chose to, Matt could track them to where they were holding the stolen cattle. His questions answered, Matt turned his horse around to return to camp. It was time to start cleaning the fish. Sam would probably be back soon, and he might as well be ready. Just outside of camp, Matt saw a subtle movement in the brush. This time, a flash of sunlight off a gun barrel showed it was not a snake or a bull. Matt's hand dropped to the revolver at his side. He had it pulled and ready to fire when Lester Brown stepped into the open, holding his rifle out front.
Hold on, son. Don't shoot.
Good way to get yourself killed. You came damn close.
Hell, I didn't expect you to be so fast. Damn, you had that gun out of its holster before I could even blink. That's about as fast as I've ever seen.
So what are you doing out here?
I wanted to catch you before you got to your camp. Daryl and I brought you a little gift. Some fish we caught for you. To kind of make up for what you lost earlier. I wanted to warn you, Daryl and me are here, so you wouldn't come in shooting. Looks like a good thing I did.
That sounds reasonable.
And with your permission, we'd like to cook supper tonight. It's the least we could do, seeing as how Daryl tried to take your head off earlier.
Are you good cooks?
I was a bachelor for most of my life. I learned to be a pretty hot damn good cook, if I do say so myself. And I taught Daryl everything I know.
My partner, Sam, is coming in later with some supplies.
Don't worry about it. We got plenty of everything.
Somehow I don't think Sam would object, as long as he doesn't have to cook. Make yourself at home.
Lily sat quietly on the outside edge of the wagon seat. Sam kept his eyes on the road ahead. The way was clear, but he didn't trust Petty.
Will you be staying with us?
Afraid not. I need to check on my partner, Matt. He and I are camped a little ways downstream.
Can't Matt get along without you?
I figure Matt can take care of himself. It's more of a matter of decorum.
Decorum?
It wouldn't look right for a strange man to be staying with you all so soon after your daddy's death.
Tommy looked disappointed.
But I'll see you the rest of the way home, and I'll stop by first thing tomorrow.
Is your partner anything like you?
Sam saw the hint of a smile on Lily's face and figured Clarissa's tea must be working pretty well.
If so, you must make an interesting pair.
Matt's supposed to be fishing and staying out of trouble. He's a fair fisherman, but he's not any good at all at staying out of trouble. Of course, I'm not good in that department myself.
The next mile passed in pleasant silence. The shot came from a hill near the Brandom place. Sam yanked Lily and Tommy to the floor of the wagon. Another shot hit the seat inches from Sam's head.
I suspect they may be after me. I seem to have that effect on some people.
It was a classic ambush, but the bushwhackers were careless. Sam spotted the flashes from the gunshots and spaced his shots carefully. He knew he hadn't hit anything, but figured he got bullets close enough to make his attackers nervous. The air was suddenly quiet, only to be broken again by the sound of hoofbeats fast approaching. Two masked riders came into view, saw the stalled wagon, and opened fire again. The bullets splintered parts of the wagon, but Lily and Tommy remained safely on the wagon floor. Sam aimed at the moving target and squeezed off a shot. Both riders raced past the wagon, more interested in getting away than in continuing the fight. Sam slipped out of the wagon and untied his horse.
I'm going after them. Can you make it the rest of the way home?
It's just a little up ahead. You've helped us plenty. Don't you worry about us.
I'll check on you later.
Be careful.
The two riders took off from the main road, headed straight for the brothers' fishing camp.
I'll be careful. But those two are the ones who need to worry. They're headed straight for Matt. I think he might be kind of ornery when they interrupt this fishing.
Yeah, damn you!
Hardesty and Cooper saw Sam face King Petty earlier in the day. They gave the stranger credit for guts and a quick draw, but figured an ambush would be an easy matter. They were wrong. Sam was both still alive and on their tails. The two still weren't sure what went wrong.
Damn, we should have had him!
The tall, red-haired man, Hardesty, was mad.
I came close!
Cooper tried to keep his balance while his horse went up a small hill. He was slightly pudgy and now favored his left shoulder, which still stung from Sam's near miss.
We would have had him if not for that lucky shot!
Tell that to Petty! He won't accept that as an excuse!
You tell it to Petty! I'm tempted to just skip this area. Anywhere would be safer than here when Petty gets riled.
Yeah, I'm not sure our friend will go along with that idea.
Cooper looked behind them and saw Sam riding through the trees. Sam wasted no time going after the two bushwhackers. After his quick goodbye to Lily and Tommy, he was racing after his attackers. Sam didn't have to worry about trying to follow the trail, since they were not that far ahead of him and were more interested in escaping than covering the tracks.
The bastard is following us!
He's as crazy as Petty!
Doubt if he's as mean, but I don't intend to take any chances!
Hardesty pulled his rifle and shot at the figure chasing him and Cooper. He missed by a wide margin. Sam continued as if he hadn't even heard the shot. Hardesty shot three more times. The result? He lost precious seconds from his head start. Though the two riders rode fast, they could not stay very far ahead of Sam, who had been on a horse almost since birth. Sam quickly narrowed the gap to the point where Hardesty and Cooper could almost see Sam's dark eyes coming at them.
Let's split up! He can't come after both of us! Maybe we can get him in a crossfire!
Hardesty went right and Cooper went left. Hardesty looked back and saw Sam was following him. He shot again. This time, Sam returned the fire, though he also missed. Suddenly, Sam was gone. The outlaw stopped, looked around cautiously, trying to figure out what he should do next. He had only a few seconds to consider before a large man on horseback exploded through the trees, jumping gracefully and landing just a few hundred feet in front of him.
No!
Hardesty, shocked, pulled back too far on his horse's reins, causing it to buck. The tall outlaw held on and then kicked the horse to get it running again. Sam gave chase, his horse following less than a dozen paces behind. Cooper had just stopped his horse, letting it catch its breath, when Hardesty almost ran him over.
He's behind me! The bastard's behind me! Shoot him!
Before Cooper could draw his gun, Sam had him pinned with a few shots of his own. It was all the convincing that Cooper needed. He spurred his horse away from Sam, joining Hardesty in a mad dash for safety, though the pudgy outlaw had a difficult time keeping up. They rode for minutes that seemed like hours, headed for the creek, to possibly get to town and safety. Too late, they spotted the smoke and realized they were headed straight for somebody's camp. Hardesty and Cooper looked behind them from the backs of their speeding horses, saw Sam wasn't about to give up, and realized they didn't have much choice in the matter. They urged their horses to even greater speed, even though their path would take them right through the camp.
Faster, damn you, faster! Yeah!
Lily was as tired as she had ever been in her life. In a single day, her husband was murdered. She buried him, then was almost raped and kidnapped by his murderer, one of the worst men she ever saw. If not for Sam Two Wolves, she might now be another victim of King Petty. It was almost more than she could bear. She felt drained, surprised she had any energy left. Born and raised on a homestead, Lily was used to hard work. She was used to death. She saw her father and brother die. Yet losing her husband was so unexpected, so sudden, so senseless, that the shock was far worse than anything she knew. She knew pain would follow the initial shock. She also knew she would eventually get on with her life. In the meantime, she must be strong for her and her son's sake. Today, she took hesitant first steps for which she was proud. She hitched and drove the wagon into town on her own. When Jack was alive, he always handled those chores, and Lily was content to let him handle the reins. Now, with Jack gone, she would have to learn to do a lot more things on her own. The horses were close enough to home they knew the way and needed little encouragement. They were eager to get to their barn and some fresh hay. Lily held the reins loosely. Tommy sat on the seat beside her, eyes open but quiet.
Why did he have to kill Daddy?
Lily put her hand on his shoulder and squeezed it.
I don't know. Some men are just bad. Who knows why they're that way? They just are.
Not fair.
Life's not fair. We just gotta do with what we have.
Do you like Sam?
What kind of a question is that?
I think Sam's going to help us.
Maybe he will. He's just a stranger to us, but already has done more than anybody in town. Except for maybe the Ponders. But I wonder if they would have done as much if Sam hadn't been there.
Do you like him?
He seems to be a good man, though he's a lot different from your daddy.
Yeah, I suppose so. He really stood up to Petty, didn't he? And the way he took after those men who shot at him?
He's quite brave. Or foolhardy. I think any woman that catches him will have her hands full.
The horses paced into the barnyard and halted. Lily wearily climbed down from the wagon.
Tommy, would you unhitch the team and toss them some hay?
Sure, Mom.
The woman was so tired she was almost to the door before she realized two strange horses were tied at the side of the house. For a moment, she froze, remembering the close call in town. She wished she had a gun in her hand, then realized she never learned to shoot one. The only guns Jack owned were the rifle and a little revolver he kept in the nightstand by the bed. If Sam came by, she'd ask him to show her how to use them. But that would be another day if she'd lived through this night. She felt chilled as she climbed onto the porch and into the front room. Marshall Holt and another man were seated in the chairs, feet outstretched. Holt had the decency to at least stand when Lily entered the room. The other man remained seated.
Hello, ma'am. Hated to barge in on you like this, but we've got some business to talk about.
Jack kept the loaded rifle on the wall. Lily glanced at the rifle hanging over the door. It was still in place. She wondered if she could get to it and figure out how to use it in time to do her any good.
Marshall, I'm surprised to see you out here. To what do I owe this visit?
Well, I've been doing a lot of thinking about what you and I talked about in town, that is.
Before or after I was kidnapped?
Well, now, it wasn't exactly a kidnapping. It was more of a misunderstanding. I didn't really understand you felt your husband was murdered and you wanted an investigation.
I thought I made that very plain. And you've made your position very clear. You work for Petty. That's all there is to it. Now get out of my house.
Just hold on, lady. Now, I agree it's my job to look into such accusations. A leading citizen's been accused of a crime, and it's my duty to clear him, or not.
Get to the point, Marshal.
What I'm trying to say is that I'll be glad to conduct an investigation.
Lily looked at him in disbelief.
You? Conduct an investigation?
But before I can open an investigation, I need some evidence. And most important, I need the body. Now, you'll need to dig up the body so that I can look it over. You know, make sure he was shot, like you said.
Lily reacted without thinking in a way far out of character for her.
Oh!
Holt started to dodge another blow when a strong hand caught her arm.
Oh! Oh!
Settle down. It's an officer of the law you're trying to hit.
Holt rubbed his face, where a red welt was starting to form.
Thanks, Con. Hell, lady, that hurt.
How dare you come in here and demand I desecrate my husband's body? He's dead and buried. I plan to let him rest in peace. Now get out of my house!
Now, this is official business. Now we need to investigate your allegations. Don't think we'll let you get off so easily. Now we can get a court order, you know.
Go to hell.
Then you're willing to drop the charges? Marshall said it. No evidence, no investigation.
I'm not going to let you do anything to my husband's body.
Well, then that's it.
The widow didn't say she dropped the charges. Might be a good idea to see the body anyway.
Tommy ran into the room and recognized Holt and Con.
What are these men doing to you, Mommy? Are they bothering you?
No, son, they're just leaving.
Holt hurried awkwardly from the room. Con went a little slow. His spurs jingled as he brushed his tall body against Lily.
Just think about it. When Petty gets through with you, it'll be my turn.
Lily tried to slap him, but he was already at the door.
Boy, if I were you, I'd watch my step. Never know when something could happen to you. Just like your daddy.
Matt was not seriously concerned, but he wondered about Sam. It was a short trip to town, yet by early evening, Sam wasn't back. Matt figured Sam could handle himself well enough, so had no plans to go looking for him. Sam would show up when he was good and ready.
Oh, man. Oh.
Matt had more aches and pains from a day that was supposed to be relaxing than from times when he herded cattle all day or fought Indians. At least he finally got some fishing done. The air was now filled with wonderful aromas of cooking fish and hush puppies. Apparently the Browns were as good cooks as they said. Matt strolled over to the fire, where the elder Brown had his sleeves rolled up and was cooking the fish. He already had a pan full and was cooking more.
You said you expect your partner to be back pretty soon?
In a minute now. I expected him a long time ago, but he probably stopped for a beer.
Has he got an appetite as well?
Let me put it this way. He can polish off what you've cooked here, and then be ready to settle in for some serious eating.
My kind of man. We got plenty. Should make him a happy man.
If he doesn't get back soon, I'll just have to eat his share. It all looks and smells mighty good.
Matt picked up a piece of fish fried to a deep golden brown and almost had it to his mouth when two riders galloped out of the woods toward the creek.
What in the hell?
They almost knocked down Daryl, who was cooking some hush puppies over a separate fire. Matt popped the fish into his mouth and pulled his gun. Before he could shoot, a third figure rode into the clearing.
Sam, what in blazes is going on?
Sam stopped in the middle of the clearing and untied some bags on his saddle.
Long story. Here are the supplies I went after. Planned to be back sooner, but I ran into a few little delays. I'll tell you later.
Seems kind of rude to not stay for supper, especially considering all the work we've gone through to make it.
I'll be back in time for supper. How many meals have you known me to miss?
Precious few. Now that's one thing I don't have to worry about with you, though I thought you were going to stay out of trouble this time.
Good intentions and all that.
Sam turned his horse and kicked it into motion.
That fish looks and smells damn good.
Then he was off again.
That's my partner, Sam.
I'd have thought so.
I'm going to help Sam. Make yourselves at home. We'll be back by the time it's ready to eat.
More for us.
Ralph Smiley enjoyed his job more and more every day. He sat easily on his horse on the side of the ridge, looking into the valley. Another rider worked his way leisurely up the narrow trail until he was beside Smiley.
Sure a pretty sight, isn't it?
Sure is. In all the miles I've ridden, I don't think I've ever seen such a picture. That is, if you like cows.
Smiley tried to ignore him, though it wasn't easy to do. Ash was over 6 feet tall, inches taller than Smiley, and outweighed Smiley by a good 50 pounds. He carried a big gun on his hip, tied low, and a bowie knife and a holster strapped to his leg. He was a dangerous man, employed by King Petty to keep an eye on Smiley in the rustling operation. Ash was an aggravation, but putting up with him was a small price to pay since Smiley didn't intend to cross Petty. At times, though, temptation beckoned. Admiring the scene in the valley below him now was one of those times. The spring grass was a fresh, cool green. The cattle grazing were shades of velvety browns and blacks. A clear stream meandered through the middle of the valley. The sun was shining bright, making everything look bright and new. It looked like the ranch Smiley always wanted, but never had. Early in his life, circumstances led him to a life of crime, rustling other people's cattle instead of raising his own. He was not proud of his life. Most of the time, he didn't think about the choices he made. He had to admit, however, he had taken a liking to this valley and was starting to think about it as his valley.
I know how you feel about cattle. I don't know why Petty even bothers having you out here.
He knows how much you like cows. You might get some ideas about cutting out some of the choice critters for your own use. Now, he can't have you stealing his stolen cows, can he?
The valley was exactly what Smiley would have picked out for himself if he had the chance. Not only was it beautiful, it lay in a perfect spot, It was a relatively short drive to the army fort a little farther north. The government bought all the beef they could get, no questions asked. A man could make a fortune here, legally. He was making even more for Petty, illegally.
No danger of my taking any of Petty's cattle. I'm a little too fond of living.
If you call this living, I don't know what you see out here. Me, I'd rather be in town with Petty, drinking whiskey with a gal in my lap.
Down below, the cowboys working with Smiley pushed the new cattle taken from the brown land into the group. These were good-looking animals, healthy, and with just the right amount of fat on them.
Why'd you come up here, Ash? I somehow doubt it was to discuss your social preferences.
Ash gestured to the animals below.
Those are the cows you got from Brown and his son, right?
Yep.
Wanted to talk with you about the way you handled old man Brown today.
I handled him.
True. But you went awful easy on him. You could have shot him when you had the chance, but you let him go. That means he could come back. And next time he might have help.
I doubt it. He wouldn't dare to take on any of us. Not as long as we're working for Petty.
Ash moved his horse closer to Smiley and poked him in the chest with his finger.
Now get this straight. You work for Petty. You play by his rules. If Brown comes around again, you shoot him.
That's not my job. I've killed men in my time, but I'm a rustler, not a killer.
We don't want anything to go wrong. If you don't take care of Brown, then I will. And after I solve that problem, I'll shoot you. Got it?
Smiley looked down at the valley for another minute, trying to keep his anger under control.
I got it.
Good.
Ash started back down the hillside.
Enjoy the view.
Sam didn't have to look back to know Matt was mounting his horse to join the chase. The two bushwhackers were making a valiant effort to escape, but they hadn't pulled very far ahead, even with Sam taking the time to stop and chat with Matt. They plunged into Matt's fishing hole and started to splash through the water. As Sam was urging his horse into the water, Matt suddenly appeared from downstream in a path that would cut off the escape route. Hardesty and Cooper looked at each other and spurred their horses faster. Matt pulled his colt. Bodine's two shots halted them in their tracks. They frantically urged their mounts back up the embankment of the creek, splashing water all around them in their haste to get away. Matt caught up with Sam and they gave chase, side by side.
Thought I told you to stay out of trouble.
So you did. Only when did I ever listen to your advice?
Good point. But you should.
Then think how boring your life would be.
The two blood brothers splashed up on shore, closing the gap between them and the bushwhackers.
You think this is a good idea? They're headed back for the camp, without even being invited for supper.
Such bad manners. That's almost as bad as taking pot shots at me.
Matt and Sam could see the two riders once again nearing the camp where Lester Brown and his son Daryl were cooking supper. Lester looked up, surprised, as Hardesty raced toward him.
Oh, hell!
Hardesty jerked his horse's reins to guide him around the fire. The horse was still dripping creek water. It slid near the fire, splashing Brown, who was holding a long metal fork he was using to turn the fish.
Son of a bitch!
Brown struck out with the fork. It missed Hardesty's animal, but hit the rear of Cooper's horse. The hot fork surprised the horse, causing it to take a leap forward, bumping the other animal and pushing it against the hot kettle. It whinnied and started to buck, kicking the pot, scattering hot coals and splashing grease and fish.
You stupid goddamn pussywhip sons of bitches! I'll kill you with my bare hands!
Sam and Matt arrived at the scene, but were unable to stop the chaos.
Shit!
Daryl barely got out of the way of the two horses. The grease splashed onto the coals caught fire and blazed up, engulfing even the plates of food already fried.
Now they've really committed a crime. They crashed the party and then crashed the food. Shouldn't have done that.
You'll just have to earn your keep. It's your turn to catch the fish this time.
Sam sprinted toward the mess. He leaped from his horse's back and grabbed Hardesty by the collar, pulling him from his bucking horse to the ground. Hardesty tried to punch Sam, but slipped in the grease. Daryl raced over to a pot Sam's foot had kicked, grabbed it, and gracefully swung it against Hardesty's head.
Ow!
His eyes glazed over, and then he collapsed to the ground. His sleeve brushed against one of the coals, causing the cloth to scorched. Cooper finally got his horse under control, but Brown wasn't going to let him get away either. He grabbed the outlaw as he tried to ride away, pulled him from the saddle, and hit him on the side of the head with the fork in his hand.
No!
Cooper staggered, turned in time to see Matt and Sam both facing him. He stopped, but not fast enough.
This is for shooting at me,
and this is for messing up our supper!
Cooper fell backward, sliding toward the creek through the flaming grease, igniting his shirt. Brown stepped over to Cooper and picked him up by the shirt.
Should I?
Guess we shouldn't let them burn. At least not before we have our chance to talk with them a little. Guess that wouldn't be a polite way to treat dinner guests.
By all means, let's show our guests the same courtesy they showed us.
Brown took Cooper, and Daryl picked up Hardesty. They stepped toward the river and threw the outlaws into the water. Lily tried to look strong in front of her son, but it was a losing battle. After Marshal Holt and Khan left, Lily barely moved. Tommy held her hand. He figured with his father dead, he was the man of the family, but he didn't know how to fill the role. He held her hand, trying to think about what to do next. He never saw his mother like this before. It scared him. Lily sat down on the easy chair in the front room. Too much had happened in too short a time. Why? 24 hours before, she was a happily married woman whose main concern was how to best prepare supper for her husband and son. Now she was a widowed woman who had to deal with her grief, work her homestead while worrying when King Petty and his men would descend to destroy it all. Petty got what he wanted. Now he wanted her, and was willing to kill her husband and hurt her son to get her. She shuddered again. Tommy looked up at her, trying to be brave. It seemed Lily couldn't stop shaking, but she had to try. She clutched the arm of the chair and tried to think about the situation calmly. What could she do to protect herself?
Tommy, you're going to have to be a man now. And I'm going to talk straight with you.
Yes, Mom.
These men are after us. From now on, we cannot assume that we are safe. Not any place, not any time. We know the law will not help us. We cannot expect Sam, Mr. Two Wolves, will be here to save us. I know this is very tough on you. I don't know how you got through this day, but you're strong, and I'm proud of you.
What are we going to do?
Lily chewed on her lip as she thought. She was used to Jack making all the decisions, but she surprised herself a few minutes earlier when she'd reacted with uncharacteristic strength against Petty's men. Maybe it was time she started to make her own decisions as well.
First thing we must do is to be more careful. Those men were waiting for us inside our house, and I walked right up to them. From now on, you and I will stay together. I'll help you do your chores, and you'll help me do mine. Each of us will try to watch out for the other and give warning and even a hint of danger. We'll make sure the doors and the windows are locked. Let's take care of that now.
Lily placed a chair against the door while Tommy closed the shutters. It would not stop a determined man from getting in, but at least it was action. It might slow down an attack. Maybe it was false hope, but Lily started breathing easier.
Now what, Mom?
Come with me.
Tommy followed his mother into the bedroom. She stopped by the nightstand, opened the drawer, and pulled out the small revolver. She didn't know much about guns. She had never been interested. Since Jack didn't like guns, he never explained much to her. Jack used the gun mainly to shoot snakes and coyotes that got too near the house or livestock, so he showed her how to load it and shoot it, though he'd asked her not to bother it.
You ever shot this thing?
No. I wanted to. The other kids all have their own guns and know how to use them. But Dad said he didn't like guns. He never let me fool with it.
That is going to change tomorrow. You and I are both going to learn how to shoot these guns. Maybe we could ask Sam to help show us how to use them. But no matter, we're going to protect ourselves one way or the other. I'm not going to allow what happened to your dad to happen to you.
She found the box of bullets in the drawer.
Just in case... something happens, let me show you how to load this gun. I'll use the rifle.
She awkwardly opened the gun, removed the bullets, and inserted fresh ones. Then she let Tommy do it several times. This could also be a false sense of security, but it made Lily and her son feel better.
This ain't so tough.
You're just putting bullets in the gun. Don't get too sure of yourself. You may shoot yourself in the foot.
She took the gun back, then placed it on the bed beside her.
And I don't want you getting any ideas about using this gun or any other gun to try and shoot Petty or his men. I want to keep you alive.
But they won't get me.
Don't talk back.
She looked around the room, trying to think of anything else she could do.
From now on, I also want us to sleep in the same room. I'll put some blankets on the floor in your room.
Tommy ran from the room. He came back in with blankets and a pillow.
No, Mom. You need your sleep. I'll sleep on the floor, and I'll try to watch the door.
We both need our sleep. Today was the worst day of our lives. Tomorrow probably won't be much better.
Don't worry, Mom. We'll face it.
Hardesty and Cooper woke with water in their eyes and mouths and pain in almost every bone in their bodies. They opened their eyes to see Sam, Matt, and the Brown standing over them, arms crossed, with angry looks in their eyes. Cooper groaned as he felt blisters on his skin from the flames. He looked down and saw that while his shirt was burned and his chest was red, he was not seriously injured. He held his head.
What are you gonna do with us?
What do you think? I know you're Petty's men. I know you tried to kill me.
And look at all the damage you've done here. You two are not what I'd consider sociable types.
Oh, I get it. You two are gonna talk us to death.
We haven't decided not to kill you yet. I'd be a little more respectful if I were you.
You could have killed us if you wanted. So you want something from us.
Smart man. I think you two have learned your lesson. But I want your boss to learn there are some men he cannot control. Go back to Petty. Tell him not to try anything like this again, or he will have to answer to Sam Two Wolves.
Sam reached down, pulled both of the outlaws up by what was left of their shirts, and pushed them toward their horses.
Now get out of here before I really lose my temper.
Though Matt was angry, he still had to smile as the two outlaws ignored their aches and pains, got back on their horses, and raced out of the camp back to town. Sam could throw the fear of the devil in somebody if he wanted, because his threats were not empty. Hardesty and Cooper were lucky they were still alive.
You're getting tender-hearted in your old age. You chased those two across hills half-faker, then you let them go?
Needed a little sport. Decided life was getting a little too dull.
Nothing like getting shot at to spice things up. I didn't much think you could go into town and just get a few supplies. I imagine you'll hear again from your new friends.
And from their boss. That's why I wanted him to get the message.
You two boys sure take the cake. You act like getting shot at and beating the crap out of a couple of no-goods like that is just an everyday thing. You make jokes about it.
Yep.
You bet.
Lester kicked at the remains of the fire and the overturned pot that had held the fish.
Damn fight left quite a mess.
No supper. I was looking forward to it.
That's what you get for being late. Except I was looking forward to supper myself. Especially since I didn't have to cook it. Lester Brown here and his son Daryl kindly agreed to do the cooking tonight. So much for the fish fry.
Not much left here. Let's get this mess cleaned up. Then, let's head on into town for some supper and a few beers. There's quite a bit I need to tell you.
Lester has some interesting information as well.
Then come on. I'll buy everybody supper and the first round of drinks.
It didn't take long to pick up the pots and move the remaining supplies. The small group, led by Matt and Sam, arrived in the town of Snake Creek before dark. The men rode slowly down the dirt street, ignoring the whispered talk and the hard stares directed at them.
Looks like your message was delivered. If I were you, Sam, I'd be a little concerned about what the answer might be.
I always have an open mind, and am willing to discuss the situation.
I bet.
Several men came out of the Black Bull Saloon as the group passed, but did not try to stop them.
That's where King Petty hangs out. Those are some more of his men. You two are asking for trouble.
Not us. We never look for trouble. We just mind our own business. We're just innocent victims. Besides, you must not be too worried. You're still riding with us.
Hell, you offer to buy us supper. Don't think we pass up a chance like that, do you?
At first, I didn't much care for you two. Especially since you introduced yourself with a gun in your hand.
So, that's how you all got hooked up, Matt? And you talk about me staying out of trouble.
Matt ignored the comment and continued.
But I admit I was wrong. I'm liking you two better all the time.
Sam led the group past the saloon toward a small general store.
You already know I made some enemies this afternoon. I also made a few friends. I want to introduce you all. They might help to fill in a few gaps I'm not even sure about yet.
Henry Ponder could not keep his mind on the work in front of him. He was supposed to be restocking shelves, but his mind kept wandering to the stranger who rode into town that afternoon, confronted King Petty, and lived to tell about it. Petty terrorized the town for years, and nobody seemed to be able to do anything about it. Maybe Sam Two Wolves just got lucky. Maybe he was working on borrowed time. Henry was concerned that was the case. Nobody had successfully stood up to Petty and lived to tell about it.
Henry?
He turned at Clarissa's voice. She was watching him with concerned eyes. As always, he felt warmth at the sight of her and wished he could have done more for her.
Sorry, I didn't hear you walk in.
You seemed lost in thought. I almost didn't want to disturb you.
Glad you did.
He put the can in his hand down on the counter.
I've been thinking about Sam Two Wolves. He doesn't know what he's gotten himself into. It's tragic what happened to Jack Brandom and his family. It's heroic that Sam stepped in when he did, but I hate to see him wind up like all the others.
And yet part of you hopes he comes back to help. Nothing wrong with that.
As always, you read me like a book.
I think Sam will be back. There's something about him that sets him apart from other men. My grandfather called it the warrior spirit. It's what separates a true warrior from just a strong man or a thug. Petty doesn't have it. Sam does. He'll be back.
He'd be better off to just keep riding.
It'd go against his grain. He'll fight because it's the right thing to do. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Sam again very soon.
Do I hear my name spoken in vain?
Henry and Clarissa both spun around in surprise to see Sam standing in the door with another man beside him. They could have been brothers, not just in appearance, but because they both seemed to generate the same strength.
We were speaking about you, Sam. We were hoping you'd come back.
How was the fishing?
Had a little excitement. Didn't get a chance to do much fishing today after all.
Hell, his friends that came to visit caused such a ruckus, Sam didn't even get a hook in the water. They messed up our supper to boot. So he's gonna buy us some. No good place here in town?
Sam shook his head and stepped all the way inside.
This is my partner, Matt Bodine. Matt, this is Henry and Clarissa Ponder. They own the store and helped me out this afternoon.
Lester and Daryl then stepped into the room.
This is...
Hi, Lester. How's the cattle business?
Not as good as yesterday. My luck finally ran out. Lost about 100 head this morning.
I see you all know each other. I'll cut my introduction short. I am buying supper, though. You two want to join us?
You men go on. I'll close the store for the day.
Henry recommended a little restaurant owned by Charlie Hacker. Matt and Sam nodded with approval as they entered. It was neat and clean, with checkered tablecloths and curtains on the windows. The aroma of steak and potatoes came from the kitchen area. Several people were in the room, but it was not crowded. A robust older woman approached the table as the men pulled up chairs.
Will it be today, Henry?
Start off with a round of beers, Lynn. Then bring the food and keep it coming. Our new friend Sam is buying. That means you may actually get paid in real money tonight.
Don't know about that. Don't know if Charlie's system can stand the shock.
She looked at Sam.
You're the fellow that faced King Petty this afternoon, aren't you?
Yeah.
Thought so.
Looks like you're famous.
The whole town's talking about it. Sam Two Wolves, your money's no good here. Supper's on the house. Make yourself at home. Food'll be out in a few minutes. If Charlie gets back in time, I'll let him know you're here. He'd like to meet you.
Lynn brought the beers, followed by steak and potatoes. The men ate in good-natured silence through several helpings and rounds of beers. Finally, Sam pushed himself back from the table.
Guess we've abused Lynn's hospitality long enough.
Wasn't fish, but it was good. Now let's hear about this mess you got yourself into so I can figure out how to get you out of it.
As always, you're all heart. But I'm used to it by now. It started when I came to town to get my supplies. I stopped in at Henry's store. He'll verify I was innocent as could be.
Oh, yes, Matt. I can vouch for Sam. He wasn't looking for trouble. In fact, we talked about his planned fishing trip.
Matt rolled his eyes to the ceiling.
Now I'm outnumbered.
Then we heard a commotion outside. I saw these thugs trying to manhandle a woman, Lily Brandom, and her boy, Tommy. So I stepped outside to look into the situation.
Is she pretty?
Very pretty. But that has nothing to do with my helping. Unfortunately, some of the thugs pulled guns on me, and I had to kill them. Turns out the woman's husband was killed in cold blood earlier in the day by a man called King Petty. She was just trying to get some help from the marshal. Needless to say, he wasn't any help.
Matt became more somber as Sam continued to talk.
So now King Petty's out for you. He sent those others after you. That they not only failed but were humiliated will probably make Petty angrier.
Jack Brandom, the man Petty killed, was just a poor homesteader. He never looked for trouble or hurt anybody. Petty's killed a lot of people, but this may be the worst he's ever done. He's crazy, if you ask me. There's lots of people in town who want to do something to stop him, but nobody can figure out how.
Petty's the reason my path crossed Daryl and Lester's. Daryl thought I was one of Petty's men who had rustled some of their cattle. He gave me a pretty good fight before Lester came along and helped us straighten it all out before somebody got killed.
Lester, do you know anything about the rustling operation?
Petty's in control, but he's got some other fella actually working it. His name is Ralph Smiley. He knows his cattle. He always cuts out the best of the herd. He has some place in the hills where he keeps them and probably sells them up north. It's just like a regular business to him since nobody's going to cross him. Not as long as he's with Petty.
Ralph Smiley. We've heard his name in connection with other cattle rustling operations. Though he stayed clear of us. Looks like he's found a good thing down here.
Maybe. Except now I'm not sure being hooked up with a man like King Petty's ever a good thing. I couldn't just let Smiley and his men take my cattle without a fight. So I followed and found Smiley. For all the good it did me. He laughed in my face. Told me to get lost. I suppose I could have fought him, but I was outnumbered and outgunned.
You don't sound defeated. You gonna try and get your cattle back?
I haven't worked this land for 20 years just to give up now. Daryl and I will think of something.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking, Matt?
I suppose so. I didn't volunteer to help the Browns at first because I wanted to get some fishing in. But since those plans have changed...
I couldn't very well leave Lily and Tommy to the mercy of Petty in any case. And now Petty is looking for a fight. He sent those two clowns after me. And somebody trying to kill me is not something I take too kindly.
So why not bring the fight to him? And at the same time help our new friends, the Browns? It's been a while since I've punched cows, and it's about time I reacquainted myself with the critters. How'd you boys like to go on a little cattle drive?
I'd be delighted.
Let's do a little planning. I'd like to look around a little more to see what we're up against.
We're with you. Whatever you decide.
Count me in, too, if there's anything I can do.
Petty was at his usual table when Hardesty and Cooper sheepishly walked in. They moved slowly, as if they were in pain. Holt, standing at the bar, started to smirk.
You go ahead and laugh, you fool, and I'll kill you. I don't care who you think you are.
Looks like Sam Two Wolves strikes again.
Petty looked up.
What the hell happened to you two?
Well, Two Wolves was a little tougher than we thought.
Did you kill him?
The two outlaws scraped their boots on the floor.
We, had an ambush all set up, but something happened.
Answer me. Is Sam Two Wolves dead?
No. He did have a message for you. He said for you not to try anything against him or...
Look at you two. send you out for a simple job, and you come back with your tails between your legs. Looks like he cleaned up the countryside with you. Damn, your piss-poor excuses for men.
Oh, but he had help. He had another guy with him, just about as tough as he was.
Petty's boot tip had lashed out, hitting Cooper in the chin, snapping his head back.
I don't want excuses. I hate excuses. I hate people getting in my way. You understand?
Hey, speak of the devil. Here comes that SOB now. He's acting like he owns the town. Just riding in as pretty as you please.
Petty stepped over the two men in pain on the floor to look down the street.
Well, that's interesting. Looks like Two Wolves has himself some friends.
Yeah. The old guy's Lester Brown, a small-time rancher. The one beside him is his son, Daryl. Guessing the third guy is Map O'Dean.
How'd you know that?
Holt stretched his neck to see over the other men without disturbing him.
Somebody's got to keep on top of things. I've been asking around. Some of the boys know about Sam Two Wolves and Matt Bodine. They got themselves a reputation as troublemakers and gunfighters. King, you know how fast Two Wolves is. You saw him in action. I've heard Bodine is just as fast, or faster.
Khan saw Petty scowling.
Of course, neither is as fast as you, King. You can bet all kinds of money on that.
Petty stayed inside as the group passed by, thinking about what he should do with his new development. He wasn't worried. The idea of somebody actually being better than him never crossed his mind. But he was getting the idea these two could cause him more trouble than he originally expected. He watched as Sam led the group down the street straight toward Ponder's store.
Yeah, looks like he's got another friend. My guess is that Henry Ponder has sided with him as well. Two Wolves has been a busy man for not being in town any longer than he has.
You've done good. Keep on top of things.
He turned as some of the men flipped his table back upright and brought him a fresh bottle. Petty looked at Hardesty and Cooper.
You two, get out of my sight. Don't come back until you do something right. A kind of thing that'll be more than you can handle.
The two men tried to stand.
Help that trash out of here.
Strong hands lifted the men and carried them toward the rear exit. Holt headed for the bar when Petty's voice stopped him.
Marshal Holt, it's time you started to earn your keep as well.
But King, I went out to that widow woman's like you said. I done my job.
Yeah, I'll bet you and Khan put some fear into that woman and boy. But I want you to do something else. Find out what Sam Two Wolves and Matt Bodine are up to. Use your authority, such as it is. Go ahead and mess with them if you can.
Well, that might be easier said than done.
If it don't get done, you might wind up in worse shape than Hardesty and Cooper.
So, what you want me to do?
You're the marshal. You think of something.
You coming, Con?
Nah. You're on your own this time.
All right.
Suddenly, Holt's job as marshal didn't seem as much fun as it had. But it was a little too late to quit now.